description link. If you're tuning in with us online, you can go ahead and find that video description link, the link where you can purchase this material. It is titled A Sure Foundation, written by Brother James W. Knox, pastor of the Bible Baptist Church, DeLand, Florida. This is solid material. This green book, Your Church, is a phenomenal discipleship book. If you just want to teach somebody the Word of God and basics for them to kind of get to where they need to be, this is a good discipleship for women to women. This is a good discipleship for men to men. This is a phenomenal book. Amen. All right. So we left off talking about the justice of God, part one. I'll go ahead and pray, and then we'll read. Heavenly Father, I thank you for your grace and mercy that allowed us to wake up another day of life and bread on promise. God, thank you for allowing your daughter Katie and I to make it here safely, Lord, once again with that spirit you've given us, Lord God, of breath and life. And Father, fill us now with your Holy Spirit, with the desire to continue to learn the Word of God as we gather with the saints on that first day of the week, Lord, this beautiful Sunday, for your Son, Jesus Christ, to be meditating on the Word, to receive the Word, and to fellowship with the saints, God, encourage each other, fellowship, Lord. I'm thankful for Sunday, God. We made it here, Lord. So help us now to receive what you would have for us to learn, all the knowledge that we gain, ultimately, God, to be used in love to help build others up in their faith. And it's in Jesus' name, amen. Okay, 1 Peter 1. We left off here on page 56, if you have your green book, talking about that there is no partiality or favoritism with God. So when we talk about that attribute of God, that he's a just God, or the justice of God, and if we call ourselves Christians, then this is a thing that we're going to have to strive to do better at, which is not treating others better than others, not having favoritism just because they're my family, just because they're my really good friend, just because that brother gave me some money the other day, and therefore my judgment is a little bit on this side, amen, or the sister took you out to eat, and now you're a little bit, you know, cooler there. But when the Word of God is proclaimed, and you see a lifestyle or a conduct that is contradictory, friend, at some point, you're going to have to do just like the justice of God. You're going to have to show no favoritism, even though it may hurt some feelings. So look at here, 1 Peter 1:17. Okay, the Bible says, and if you call on the Father, anybody here is a Christian? All right, so the Father of your Savior, Jesus Christ, has become your Father because you've been reconciled, amen? All right, so now as we're living on this earth, here it says, who without respect of persons judgeth according to every man's work, past the time of your sojourning here in fear. Now that sojourning, you see that word there in 17? We're just like pilgrims. We're just passing along the way, amen? We're just kind of making ourselves through this earth. We are just sojourning. In other words, we don't have a permanent dwelling, amen? How many of you guys know that you're going to go to heaven when you die? Anybody believe that? So as you're on your way to heaven, you live in your apartment, your little hut around the earth. For those of you watching from India or Africa or wherever, you live in your little straw hat there in Philippines, what have you. You're living and renting in the body over here like we're going to be soon. You're living, but you're sojourning. In other words, it's not your permanent dwelling place. So as you are living amongst other Christians and people on the earth, here's an attribute that we need to work on. Not having respect to persons. That's very difficult, especially when it comes down to family. So notice here, the Father executes judgment according to every man's work. He does this without respect to persons. God does not care if you are rich or poor. Can I get an amen to that? He doesn't care here if you're one race or another, educated or uneducated, if you're a man or a woman, and if you're religious or not religious. God will judge you on the basis of his righteousness and his holiness without any respect to your person. And by the way, this is going to go hand in hand with our Sunday service when we talk about the book of Galatians chapter number 2. I'm sorry, Galatians chapter 1 later on. Okay, and later on you can read in Romans 2:11. Let's go ahead and go there now quickly. Romans 2:11. The Bible says in verse number 11, for there is no respect of persons with God. And so, church, this is something that we have to do our best to learn more of, adapt ourselves more to. And yes, I understand for you today, it is uncomfortable to keep each other accountable. And I know it is uncomfortable to keep your Christian friends accountable. I know it is uncomfortable to, if you will, correct one another with the Word of God in love and meekness, because you're not there to respect their person. You love them. You spend time with them. Of course, we care about each other's lives, but we should not favor each other just because either we're family, we're friends, I give you money, you give me money, you scratch my back, I scratch your back, you understand? Don't let that emotional part of the world get involved with the spiritual relationship with God and each other. If the Bible is true and it's right, and there's something in their lives that comes short of the glory of God, don't follow after that. Amen. You follow the word of God and you keep them accountable, and vice versa. If you find yourself on the other end, which is coming short to the book, and they call you out, it doesn't matter if you're husband and wife. It doesn't matter if you're blood or no blood, adopted, no adopted. You should not respect persons. Try your best, church, to start working on that now while you're young, so that way you can treat everybody the same, regardless if they're your coworker, regardless if they're your best friend, regardless if they're your brother, stepbrother, blah, blah, blah. You always want to treat everybody the same, the best you can, when you can. So it's something that we all have to work on. Amen? Okay, point number two, God judges the thoughts and secrets of men as well as their outward acts. He judges the thoughts and the secrets of men. Let's go here. So if you're Romans 2, hope you have your Bible open. Go down here with me to verse number 16. The Bible says here, in the day when God shall judge the secrets of men by Jesus Christ, according to my gospel. You see, friend, none of us will be able to bribe or impress him with who you are. Wow, look at that guy. He has a tie on today. He's spiritual. You know what God says? You're a sinner, son. You're a sinner. Outside of the cross of Christ, we're enemies. We know that. But inside the cross of Christ, we're children. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither male nor female. For we are all what? One in Christ Jesus. Amen. The one who created the heavens and the earth and all that in them is will not be swayed by what you have done. It doesn't matter if you're an Apostle Paul. He will send that thorn on your side to keep you humble. It doesn't matter if you're an Apostle Peter. He will check you to the face through an apostle because you weren't walking uprightly according to the truth. It doesn't matter if you were a Diotrephes, you became a leader over church. John is going to check you to the face because you're not welcoming in certain people into the church house just like John didn't, and he had to get checked. So in other words, guys, don't allow people to sway your judgment just because, again, you want to favor them a little bit more than the other. That's something we all have to work on, okay? God will judge without respect to persons. Psalm 39:5 says, every man at his best state is altogether vanity. Vanity. Okay, point number three. The law of God for man has been proclaimed through conscience and the Bible and can never be altered. So you're still in the book of Romans chapter 2. Just go down with me to verse 14. Okay, let's state that again. Point number three, if you have your green book, we're on page 57. The law of God for man has been proclaimed through conscience, and the Bible can never be altered. Here we read verse 14. For when the Gentiles, which have not the law, do by nature the things contained in the law, these, having not the law, are a law unto themselves, which show the work of the law written in their hearts, their conscience also bearing witness, and their thoughts the meanwhile accusing or else excusing one another. You know, friends, skeptics often say, well, what about those people who live and die and they have never had a copy of the Bible in their hands to read? I don't know if you've ever been challenged with that out there, soul winning, or maybe in the workplace when you're trying to witness. Some people might just ask you, say, well, what about that one guy, right, in the tribe? I don't know why they're so prejudiced because they're in the United States of America. I call them out in love because I'm like, friend, who are you to think you're more of value worth just because you're in the States? They're prejudiced because they call it the what church? The third world. How many of you guys ever heard that? Oh, third world countries. Are there multiple worlds here? What's going on? It's one world of man, amen. We're all the Adam and the seed of Adam, amen. We're all of Daddy Adam. It doesn't matter if they're black, white, green, if they're still living crazy in the huts of the wild jungles, they are still our brother by natural birth of our great-great-granddaddy. They still need a savior. But they're prejudiced because of their country. So that's one thing that they want to try to get you at, Christian. They're going to try to accuse you. Well, you're telling me that your God is going to judge them even though they've never had a copy of the Bible? They never heard the name of Jesus Christ? That doesn't sound fair is what they're going to say, right? About that guy in Africa or somewhere in the deserts, if you will. But here's the good news. God, as the creator, did not leave himself without, if you will, witness. Because the Bible says that he has revealed within every man's conscience the knowledge of his existence and his laws. And so just like the Bible says here in Romans 2, 14 and 15, every single human on this earth has the laws of God written on their heart. They all know good from evil. They all know right from wrong. And yesterday, later on in service, church, I'll share the testimony with you. When I was out there soul winning with my wife, guys, it was crazy. We sure needed some help yesterday because it was the surfing competition, guys. There was hundreds of people. We did not know what we were getting ourselves into, guys. We were overwhelmed. We need some saints, amen. But nevertheless, Some of those people we were talking to, I just asked them, friend, you know right from wrong. You know morality. That's what separates you from the animal kingdom. Why? Because you're made in the image of God. They're not. He has placed within every single one of you the knowledge of good and evil. And so, and that's the Bible answer to them. So God is the one that taken upon himself to have the responsibility to reveal enough knowledge to every human on the earth. And when humans respond to that little light, is what we call it, God will further reveal himself to that person. So turn your Bible now to John chapter 1. John chapter 1. These verses state the fact that every man and woman on the face of this earth have within their bosom light from a holy God. Let's go to John 1. And if you have your Bible there, let's read together now, starting in verse number 7. Speaking of John the Baptist, the Bible says in verse 7, the same came for a witness to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. By the way, friend, that's a type of the Christian. When you got saved, you have the true light in you. When you're out there witnessing and telling the world about Jesus, the hope is that they will believe in him through who? You. So live accordingly. Amen. All right, that was free. Verse 8. He was not that light, of course, but he was sent to bear witness of that light. Now look at verse 9. That was the true light. How many of you guys have that word capitalized in your Bible? Anybody? Okay, so that's a personal pronoun. That is a reference to who? Jesus Christ. Now look at here. Which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. So what does that mean again, friend? Every single baby that is born right now, Jesus Christ, as the creator of man, has placed within their little, beautiful, tiny conscience brain, if you want to call it, whatever the case might be, the knowledge of God, the knowledge of his existence. So whether they're a little African boy out there, a little Mexicano boy out there, a little Russian boy up there, a little Chinese boy over there, a little Australian boy, a little Aboriginal, doesn't matter. Every single one of them has enough knowledge, a light from God, because that God has placed within them that desire. Let me show you this unique verse, church. This is not in your notes. This is Brother Carlos. Let's see here. This is a very good verse. World, and I'm going to just type this in here. In them, maybe? Let me see here. This is a phenomenal verse I heard over the weekend, that God has placed the world within them. Let's see here. Nope. It's in the Old Testament, church. Give me a second here. Let me go ahead and world and in. Let me see if I can find this here. Oh, there's a ton of them. But I think, let's see here. I think in their world, words to the end, in them he, okay, no. Let's see if I can find a church. There's an Old Testament verse here. Ah, look at here, Ecclesiastes 3. Look at here. Ecclesiastes chapter number 3. This is an Old Testament book. Some of you guys may not be as familiar with it, but it's in there. Ecclesiastes 3. Remember, this is the written account of King Solomon, and he was the wisest man outside of Christ to walk this earth. Remember that he asked God for wisdom, and God was pleased to give him that instead of riches and everything else. That's something we should tie into. Amen. And as he's studying all the affairs of man on the earth, he's studying the commerce of men. He's studying the economics of men. He's studying relationships of men. He's studying food and agriculture. And he says, man, everything outside of the fear of God is vain. It doesn't matter if you're rich. It doesn't matter if you're poor. It doesn't matter if you have much, if you don't have much. It doesn't matter if you have wives, multiplication of family members and friends, everything that you do under the sun, it's all vain, because without the fear of God, there's no true joy. Now look at what he said here in verse 11. He hath made everything beautiful in his time. Also, he hath set the world in their heart so that no man can find out the work that God maketh from the beginning to the end. And so, friend, he's not too far to be discovered. One more on this. Go to Psalm chapter 19. Psalm chapter 19. And this is a very good verse to take people to when you want to cross-reference Romans 1 about how they don't have an excuse. Remember that? Concerning the creation and how they respond to that and studying. And that's where you can study some great Christian scientists that believe in what we call creationism. And you can study their YouTube videos and study their study blogs and very good stuff to help you understand how to defend the faith with science. Ken Tobin is a really good example of that. Dr. Henry Morris. Maybe one of these days, Sister Eileen, she can plan it out here. We can take a church trip to the Creation Museum in San Diego. It's really awesome. Maybe we can take a church trip down there. That'll be a blessing. So anyways, here, look at here in verse number 1. The Bible says that the heavens declare the glory of God. The firmament showeth his handiwork. Day unto day uttereth speech. Night unto night showeth knowledge. There is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. Their line is gone out through all the earth, and their words to the end of the world. In them hath he set a tabernacle for the sun. And then look at verse number 7 and 8. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. So here's what happens. When that Gentile begins to respond to the light that God put in his heart of his existence, and when they begin to look to the stars, friend, they begin to look to the clouds, they begin to ponder upon creation and the beauty of the little creeping thing and the creature and all life that's within that thing, and they begin to think within themselves, how did we get here? There must be something greater up there. There must be someone out there who oversees all this creation. I mean, look at the beautiful sun. Look at the sky. Look at all these things. And when they begin to respond to that God-given knowledge, eventually the word of God is going to get to them. That's how faithful God is. Look at Acts 10 about Cornelius. And then before you know it, once they respond to that word of God in faith, it's going to completely enlighten the light that they already had. Amen? Point number 4, bottom page 57. Along with the proclamation of his law, God announced the penalty for its violation. Let's go to Romans 2 again. Remember, church, what are we talking about? For those of you tuning back in, the justice of God. We're talking about this attribute of God, that God, the God of the Holy Bible, is a just God. What does that mean? He must punish where punishment is due. He must judge where judgment is due and merited. He is a just God. Look at verse number 12. Once again, I'll repeat the point. Along with the proclamation of his law, God announced the penalty for its violation, and that penalty is eternal death. For as many as have sinned without law shall also perish without law. And as many as have sinned in the law shall be judged by the law. Let that sink down in your heart, friend. For you know, as you read the verse, that it speaks of you. It speaks of me. The question is not how much light from God that one has as compared to another man. The question is, have you perfectly obeyed all of the light that God has given you? Anybody here today? You know that you have not. The Bible says in Romans 3, let's go to one chapter to the right, and turn there with me, church, and let's read together in verse number 23. The Bible says here, for all have sinned. What does all mean in the Greek, brother? All, amen. You and I are that all. We are a part of the all of Adam's seed. We all have sinned, friend. We all have come short of the glory of God. And what are the wages of that sin? Go to Romans 6. You know, when Brother Giovanni works hard and Brother Carlos works hard and Sister Eileen works hard, she gets that check. He gets the wages. Some of it Caesar takes out, amen, everybody out there. But for the most part, amen, we get what we earn because we worked for it. So you know what God said that man has earned for their sin? Look at the wages. Look at verse number 23. The wages of sin is death. But, yes, church, there's some good buts in the Bible. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. You see, friend, the wages of sin is, right now, present tense, death. It was not, it not will be, but the wages of sin is death. Any violation, church, of the holiness of God brings about the judgment of a just God. Let's talk about this in a couple of more verses, and then we'll finish it with point number 5. Turn your Bible with me to 1 John chapter 5. 1 John 5, friend, that's going to be towards the right-hand side of your Bible. It's always good to follow along in your Bible, amen, because you need to work out them spiritual muscles. Some of you out there, amen. Y'all need that spiritual protein, amen. Y'all need to start working out them muscles. Pick up that book, y'all. Start doing some reps with that. Yeah. Y'all can't be surviving off just three verses in your little devotional. Y'all got to start getting that chapter book in, that five chapters in, that book to book. Amen. Come on, y'all. Look at 1 John 5. Go down with me here at verse number. Let's see here, church, verse number 16. 1 John 5, 16. Okay, hope you're following along. Verse number 16. The Bible says, if any man see his brother sin a sin, which is not unto death, he shall ask, he shall give him life for them that sin not unto death. There is a sin unto death. I do not say that he shall pray for it. All unrighteousness is sin. There you have it. There is a sin not unto death. So, friend, I just want to remind you, we all still sin. Even after you became born-again Christian, how many of you guys notice that you still mess up? Amen? Anybody out there? Well, let me kindly remind you, as your brother in Christ here and as your overseer, go to chapter 1 real quick. This is just going to be free right here. Let me just remind you of the goodness of your God, who not only bore all your sins and the curse of your sin upon himself on that cross, but when you called upon him, yes, he saved you. And yes, he justified you. And yes, he's sealed with the Holy Spirit of God. You're not going to lose him. Amen. But that's why we read the Bible. That's why we study the Bible. And that's why we meditate upon it, because it reminds you of the remedy to heal you. It reminds you of the medicine to put over that scar of sin whenever you keep coming short. Look at here with me, church, in 1 John chapter 1. The Bible says in verse number 7, but if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. You see there? You see, just like Brother Giovanni and Sister Keena in that marriage, my wife and I in our marriage, we have fellowship with each other when we're in this marriage covenant. We communicate. We have a bond. But what happens when we get a little upset? Sometimes my wife and maybe Sister Kenny may say, I don't want to talk to you right now. And then you kind of space it out. Brother Giovanni and I go to our garage and start cutting wood. But then at some point, one of us will say, you know what, girl, I'm sorry. Hey, hon, you know what? I apologize for what? My attitude. Hey, man out there, I apologize for talking to you like this. You guys know what I'm saying. I'm using that little analogy to tell you that, yes, it's as simple as that. When you and I are in this relationship with God, there are things that will affect our fellowship with God. And that fellowship with God will hinder what? Fellowship with him to us and us to him. Now look at here. When you're walking in obedience, you know what that Bible says? You got fellowship with God. And the Bible says, in the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanseth us from all sin. But now verse 8. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves. So don't be deceived. Do not tell yourself that you are sinless. Do not begin to lie to yourself and say, man, I am no longer like, and I am going to be perfect all the time. No, man, you're going to deceive yourself, brother, sister. Bible says the truth is not in us. But now, verse 9, here's the medicine, church. Here's the healing that you need for that spiritual pain whenever you come short of the laws of God. Look at verse 9. If we confess our, he is faithful and just to forgive, aren't you glad for that, us our sins, and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So notice, church, you're not confessing the sins on behalf of others. We're not the Catholic Pope here. We're not the Catholic priest here. We're not the Catholic Church here. You, the individual, when you go back to God in the altar of your heart, remember you heard me say that right here, and you just say, God, I'm so sorry. I know I came short of this. I know your Bible says not to do and fill in the blank, whether it's a thought you shouldn't have had, an act you did. That Bible says right there, church, in 1 John 1, 9, when you confess, your God is faithful and just. Wait a second. What are we talking about today? The justice of God, the attribute of God's holiness of judgment. You know what the Word of God just judged for you right now, friend? When you come to him with a heart of repentance and faith, he will forgive you that sin. He'll forgive you the offense that you've transgressed against God, even as a saved, blood-bought, blood-washed, sanctified saint. Aren't you glad that you have a good God like that, friend? I don't know about you, friend, but I'm so glad. When I offend men because of my mistakes, sometimes they don't want to talk to me no more. Sometimes they don't want to talk to me for the rest of my life. But I'm glad, friend, that I have a friend who, even though I mess up on, and even though I don't talk to him at times, even though I don't do the things that he commands me to do, I'm so glad that he still wants to talk to me. Aren't you glad about that? Anybody here glad for Jesus? Amen. I agree with Pastor Morris. Thank God for Jesus. Amen. All right. Man, he's a good God. All right, coming to a close now. Look at here in Galatians 3. And then we'll go to James chapter number 2, Galatians 3. That's why, friend, having a relationship with God and Jesus Christ, being a Christian is far better than religion. It's far better than commandment keeping. It's far better than being a part of an assembly or a cult or a religion that says, unless you do, and you fill in the blank, sacraments, commandment keeping, confessions, blah, 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 then you won't go to heaven. I'm so glad that I have a relationship with God because he provided everything necessary for me because I was unable to do all the things required of me. Anybody out there? So any single violation of any single law, even in your thoughts, as we just saw, will make one deserving of the penalty of death. Look at Galatians 3:10. The Bible says, for as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse. For it is written, cursed is everyone that continueth not in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them. You know what, brother? Them Gentiles, I'm so glad. Hey, man, I'm so glad my Mexicano forefathers, that Lord put the conscience, the law in my conscience. Amen. Because that Jew could not wear mixed fabric. That Jew had to have railings on top of his house. That Jew couldn't leave his house on the Sabbath. That Jew couldn't spark a fire on the Sabbath. That Jew had to do so many things. And God from heaven said, as soon as you fail one simple commandment, which clearly is the point for Jesus Christ, they were unable to keep all the commandments. Christ came. What did he do? He bore the curse. Amen. Every single minutia of the 613 laws given to the nation of Israel, they were incapable of completely being obedient 100% of the time, not just outwardly, friend, but where? Inwardly. And that's why they needed a savior. That's why I needed a savior. And one more on this topic, go to James 2. This is why religion can't satisfy, friend, but this is where relationship can. This is where Jesus Christ and biblical Christianity can offer remedy for the sin soul that for those that are sin sick out there, amen? And this is why religion can't. Look at James 2, verse number 10, and we're going to close here. The Bible says, for whosoever shall keep the whole law and yet offend in one point, he's guilty of all. He that said, do not commit adultery, said also, do not kill. Now, if thou commit no adultery, yet if thou kill, thou art become a what? Transgressor of the law. So again, it doesn't matter. That Hebrew can judge himself. My Lord, commandments 1 through 10, I checked 1 through 5. But as soon as you messed up in your heart, you know what God said? You became guilty of all my commandments. That's why, friend, today, relationship by faith in Jesus Christ is superior than religion outside of Jesus Christ. Religion is going to expect of you to do certain things to cleanse yourself, to change yourself, and it's going to demand of you things. But relationship, friend, is going to desire change. Love. Amen. All right, that was Sunday School. The Lord bless you. We'll see you in about 15 minutes for our Sunday service. Amen.